in all the baptismal services. This is one of those famous short messages. To me, every worship service like that has got lessons to bless our hearts. To hear people sing, to see parents deeply committed to bring up the children. Each one is a living message in itself. But this morning, as we turn to the Bible memory verse, just very quickly, I want to talk about this whole idea of a very vital spiritual battle. Psalm 68, verse 18, "You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive." How is this messianic? What does this mean? If you were to read this in the context of Psalm 68 by itself, we wouldn't have a clue as to what is meant. And we, all of us, are familiar with the idea of battles. And in the battle, in any battle, there's going to be a victor, there is going to be a vanquished. That's how it works. You never have a full standoff. It will always be one will win, one will lose, one will be a victor, one will be vanquished. And we are familiar with all kinds of battles. And out there in the world, there are different types of battles. There are physical war battles that we all are very familiar with. Do you know who is the one who is called the father of modern Europe? Who is he? How did Europe become Europe? Who made it possible for them to be Europa? Many people are not aware of this. But actually, there was only one person who actually did this. When Rome ruled the world, and the Caesars began to die, the other emperors were weak. They were ineffective. Until there came a man, they called him one name, Charlemagne. Otherwise, he's called Charles the Great, the first one. And in the late 8th century, by 800, he was made emperor of the then, what we call the European world, as we understand it. And so the Carolingian Empire ruled everything. Europe was for once truly together. And he was considered one of the greatest of emperors, because he brought Europe together like this. So he's called Pater Europa, or the father of Europe. How did he do that? It is much as his desire was to help people to understand the Christian faith. He thought he could conquer and force every nation to become Christian. And he was brutal about it. Unfortunately, history or legend tells us that when he died, he did something unusual and was not known. And it wasn't until a couple of hundred years later in history, in archaeology, they found the place where he died. And it was a special room. And he was going to be sitting on his throne there with his royal robe. He didn't die in a tomb like this. His finger was pointed at a Bible verse, an open Bible in chapter 8 of Mark. And it says this: "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world," which he did, "but loses his own soul?" Western Europe hailed him as a great conqueror. Eastern Europe had many question marks about how he did it. And so Charles the Great, Charlemagne, became a controversial figure in history. His method didn't work. Europe is what it is geographically, but religiously it is as divided can be. There are battles on that level, on that front. Trump has declared war against drug problems, abuse in America. The number of people who are taking medication and they become addicted has reached epidemic proportions. We are looking at more than 50, 60% of people who are totally dependent upon drugs today. And it's scary. Why do you think he wants to close the Mexican border? Because it's coming in very cheaply. And there is no answer. Is that the answer? It's not. There are walls already in some parts. Some parts cannot be done. But every effort is being made. There was a man in the US, and he was convicted, charged with murder of the worst kind. What was his charge? He killed 14 people and he ate them. And so because he was cannibalistic, everybody revolts just by mentioning his name. And so he was put into solitary confinement during his incarceration. And then one day, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus. He did not know that there was an answer to the problem of sin in his life, the problem of anger, the problem of violence, all the time fighting with people. And when he came to know the Lord Jesus, he asked his wardens, "Put me back into the main group, isolation. I want to share with them what I've learned." They didn't believe him, of course, and they warned him, "Your category of criminal problem is not ordinary. The very name that every time people mention your name, they want to kill you. And these are prisoners, same prison, they hate you." He said, "But I have already written letters to all the people I have killed, to the family members, asking them for forgiveness." It's not enough. And he said, "Let me try. I will convince them. I will talk to them." And they warned him, "You will die there." He stepped in. They allowed him to try, put him to step in. First day, he was badly beaten up. The prisoners couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand the sight of him. They just wanted to kill him. How can you eat people up? They themselves were murderers, but they don't eat people. This cannibal, they did not see and regard as a human being. When the hospital came right back, and they warned him, "You go back again. You are safer in solitary. At least you will live." He says, "I'm a different man now. I am not going to just skip still. I'm going to tell people what I found, about faith, about repentance. Maybe they can change too." They warned him. They did not kill you the first time. They will kill you the next time round. And one fateful day, on Thanksgiving Day itself, that man was killed by his fellow prisoners. They didn't believe a word. See, there is a battle of a different kind. And this battle is one where somebody has to be vanquished. What is that battle? Psalm 68:18 is prophetic. Little is said about it. Now we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to see this. In Hebrews chapter 2, we see a glimpse of that battle. And let me quickly read this to you. We talk about how Jesus is called the captain of salvation in verse 10. And we read in this battle, what was this battle? In verse 14, he himself likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This was the battle we read about in Psalm 68. It's a battle that very few people understand. It's a battle that is spiritual. That is a battle that you cannot see with our eyes. It is not a psychological battle. It is not an economic battle. It is not a political, geographical battle. It is not a military battle. It is a battle of in the spiritual realm. And the enemy is the devil himself. And he controls people through wickedness, through fear, through every form of evil. And he has to be defeated. And there is only one person who can defeat him. How? What happened? The book of Colossians now, chapter 2. And we, with this, we will conclude in chapter 2. And so we read in verse 15. We speak of Jesus living. We speak of Jesus dying. We speak of Jesus suffering. And nobody understood very clearly what that meant. In chapter 2 and verse 10, we read these words. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Nobody understood that at the cross, the Lord Jesus was battling for our souls, the greatest battle ever. What was the prize? The human soul. But it was a very strange and difficult battle. It was one where he has to suffer, he has to die, he has to be raised from the dead as a sign of victory. And so we see the connection, Psalm 68, 18, Hebrews chapter 2, 14, Colossians 2, 15, and they put them all together, the prophecy, the actual battle, and the success behind it all. And so when we celebrate Christmas, what are we celebrating? Much more than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have battles to fight. But every baby baptized, the parents will be battling to give them life, to provide for them, to take care of them, to give them every advantage possible. It is a big battle. But there is one battle that we all cannot fight and win. That battle has been fought and won by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we celebrate Christmas, there must be a sense of triumph in our heart. May that triumph be real. We celebrate the captain of our salvation. We celebrate the victory that he gives. We celebrate the faith that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pines too. We're going to teach you how to enter into a spiritual battle and become victorious in your life, in your studies, in fighting whatever may come your way. We ask you to stand with us, parents, because we are going into battle for their very souls. And we will fight and we will win. Pray alongside with us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill prophecy. And there was a spiritual battle that nobody understood and knew about. His disciples didn't. His opponents didn't. But he did. He knew his greatest enemy was the devil himself. And we rejoice that we can celebrate his victory over the evil one. We thank you once again for the victorious captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you to bless this offering that we give now. In Jesus' name.